Abundant Life Ministries, where lives are changing. Our pastor, Zinzalay R. Legend, brings you this message. Follow her on Twitter at MyPastorLegend and like Abundant Life Ministries, WLAC, on Facebook. Be blessed.
Jesus says, the kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. For the past 14 years that we've been a ministry family, I've been fighting. Fighting to get people to believe in the power of God. Fighting to prove that his supernature lives on the inside of every believer. Fighting to convince you to live by the Spirit and not by the flesh. Fighting to move our ministry to new dimensions of kingdom where his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Fighting to make miracles a regular occurrence. I'm trying to tell you, family, for the past 14 years, we have been at war. Warring against attitudes, mindsets, rebellions, opposition, selfishness, self-absorption, supersensitivities, excuses, laziness, jacked up priorities, inconsistencies, unforgiveness, tardiness, lies, and the list goes on and on and on. But God has a plan for us, family. And the plan is for us to be more than a church. His plan is for us to be kingdom. But it's a never-ending battle to get to the best of God. That place in God that can only be experienced in the kingdom of God. Now, I heard you say last week that you want to continue to do this work. You said that you wouldn't know what to do without this ministry. You said you appreciate your leader. But are you willing to do what it takes to take his word into the world? Will you wear your witnesses or are you going to continue to wear your miniskirts? Will you do your part or will you sit back watching others do their part? There's a lot of questions to ponder in 2014, family. But the real question of this day is, are you ready for the world? That's the theme for the day. Are you ready for the world? Now, I want you to go to three people right quick and ask them that question. Are you ready for the world? Are you ready for the world? Are you ready for the world? Our annual theme is taking his word to the world. But we've got to be about the business of doing what God has called us to do. We've got to be reflections of him in this world. Because if you were here last week, you know that we send some mixed messages. We say one thing with our mouth and another thing with our wardrobe. We say one thing out of this side of the mouth and another thing out of this side of the mouth. Now, I don't know if you were here, but if you were, you know that God had likened the new year to a new car. And he challenged us to ask what we're going to do with this new car. Are we going to keep it up? Or by the time we get to the last part of this year, is the car going to be old? Is it going to be raggedy? Will it have been repossessed? You've got a new year, and it's new. It's still shiny. It still smells good. But we have to be, We have to be sensitive, and we have to be acutely aware of what God wants us to do with this new year, with this new car. Open up your Bibles to Joshua chapter 24, that's the last chapter of Joshua. And Joshua is near and dear to my heart because my theme for the year is be a warrior. And the scripture that the Lord gave me to meditate on was, do not let the word or the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night. Then you'll be successful wherever you go. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, because the Lord your God will be with you everywhere you go. That's in chapter 1 of Joshua. We're in chapter 24. In chapter 1, Moses had just died and Joshua was just taking over leading God's people into the promised land. By the time we get to chapter 24, God has given the people the promised land, and Joshua was going before the people for the very last time before he died. And you know, I really wish I could share the whole chapter with you. I am not able to. We do not have time for that. But we're going to start at verse 14. And we're going to go down until the Lord, I've got it highlighted down. I'm not even going to tell you what number, but I've got it highlighted kind of far down. We're going to see how far the Lord wants us to go with this in order for his point to be proven on today. Is that right? Are you with me? Okay, because I'm still talking about, are you ready for the world? And so where we are at verse 14, Joshua had just been really giving a history lesson on everything that God had done for the people. And not, you know, most of the people that he was talking to weren't there for the things that God did back in Egypt and even in the wilderness, but they have to be reminded because they still have the same pattern of claiming they want to serve God and then disobeying him. I think somebody knows where I'm going. So here we are at verse 14. And it starts off, it gets good right at the beginning. He says, now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Can I stop right there, Jesus? I ain't asking you. We got a lot to get to. But I thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Holy Ghost. So it says, now fear the Lord. And we don't have enough fear in the 21st century for our God. You know what? Some of us, we scared of zombies and the different monsters that Hollywood puts out. You know, we scared to go to bed with our lights off now because of Hollywood. But I'm not talking about that kind of fear. I'm not talking about terror. God is not a terrorizing type of God, but he deserves to be revered because within his love resides wrath for those of us who choose to continue to disobey him. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Now, there's a whole lot of fears that do reside in our lives. We're afraid we're not going to get our rent paid. We're afraid we're not going to ever get married. We're afraid we're not going to find a good paying job. We're afraid of this. We're afraid of that. We're afraid of all sorts of things. And that takes away our ability to have faith and trust in God. Because if you know anything, if you've been in this ministry long enough, you know that appearances will rob us of the promises of God. So just because it looks like I should be afraid, because it seems like things are impossible, you can check the record and be reminded that God sent himself down in the form of a baby within the womb of a virgin. Wrap your mind around that. If God can do that, don't you think he can pay your little bills? Don't you think he can provide for your needs if he impregnated a virgin? That's the kind of thing we need to remind ourselves of. We need to check the record. Sometimes we just get caught up in checking with what's going on with ourselves. But we're not God. We haven't seen ourselves through. He has seen us through. Now, see, I'm taking too long on this first verse. But we have to understand, before we go any further, that we have to fear the Lord, not man, not the world, not each other, not ourselves, and serve him with everything we have, with our whole entire heart. Faithfulness means that there's a desire there. You can't have faith without desiring to please God. You get that? Because there's a difference between doing what somebody says and doing it because you know how good your God is. There's a big difference in that. All right, I got to move on from that now. He says, Throw away the gods of your ancestors, the gods your ancestors worshipped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. I wish I had time to really teach on serving, but I can't do that today. Just put a pin in that for yourself. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now understand that Joshua has just led God's people into the promised land. He just stepped them onto some land that they had never been in before, that they've been promised for over 40 years. They've been waiting for, they've been trying to get there, and yet they've been distracted by idols. Let me tell you something. I ain't got time to get into the Amorites and all the different things that they worship. We don't have time for that. What we need to understand is the message is that God does not have time for his children to commit idolatry. To put anything or anyone before God becomes idolatry. We begin to worship people. We begin to worship institutions and systems. We begin to worship power and control and fame and all these other things that the world can provide for us. And Joshua is saying that I am about to die. I don't have much longer here because my purpose has been fulfilled. But what I'm asking you is if you think it's undesirable, if it's something you don't like about serving the God that brought you out and brought you through, then go on ahead and worship somebody else. In other words, I'd rather have passionate sinners than lukewarm Christians. Because at least you made a commitment to something. And Joshua was not addressing what comes out of their mouth. He was addressing the heart of the people because the track record shows that the people have a hard time serving the Lord. So if it is undesirable to you, then don't raise your hand and confess you love the leader, that you really want to be a part of this ministry, that you can't see life without it, but then you can't get to church on time. You pick and choose the Sundays you desire to come. You decide whether or not you're going to tithe. Don't do all of that and then still claim to worship God, to serve him only. Because what you're doing is you're committing idolatry because you've allowed too many things to come before your God. But Joshua, the leader, said, as for me and my house, we gonna serve the Lord. Is that clear? Moving on. 16, I believe. Is it 16? Then the people answered, far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. It was the Lord God himself who brought us up and brought us out and our parents and brought our parents up out of Egypt from the land of slavery and performed those great signs before our eyes. He protected us and our entire journey and among all the nations through which we traveled. And the Lord drove out all the nations, including the Amorites, who lived in this land. We too will serve the Lord. Because he is our God. So Joshua went before the people and he challenged them about their faith. What you gonna do? Because now we're in the promised land. We took it over from the Amorites, which is why the Amorites keep coming up. We put them out, and yet some of them have influenced you to serve their gods. But the people are saying, oh, no, I know my God. I know what he has done for me. I know how he has brought my people out. I know how he's made a way out of no way for us. I know the great things that he has done. I can tell it to my children. I can tell it to your children. I can tell it to the nations that will come and try to be among us. I will tell it to anybody that has an ear to hear who my God is and that I am going to serve the Lord. All this passion, all this promise, from a disobedient, rebellious, stiff-necked, and obstinate people who have the most difficult time remaining obedient in the best of circumstances. Mm-hmm. It just ought to sound familiar because we talk a good game, but do we live it out? Are we living it out? I mean, even just from last week to this week, there was an emergency meeting that put some stuff out into the atmosphere right now, and it's a whole lot of people that just haven't responded to that. They just do not take it seriously and say, yes, we serve the Lord with their mouth, but with their bodies and their minds, I'm serving myself. We too will serve the Lord because he is our God. That's what the people said. Verse 18, Joshua said to the people, you are not able to serve the Lord. He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your rebellion and your sins. If you forsake the Lord and begin and serve foreign gods, he will turn and bring disaster on you and make an end of you after he has been good to you. So there's some clarity. I know some people are like, what? He's not going to forgive? Hold on. He says, first of all, to the stiff-necked, rebellious, obstinate people, he said, you are not able to serve the Lord. How do I know? Because I've been your leader for decades, and what I see in you is a propensity to disobey what God has said. You can check the record and share the history with your children, but you're not living it out in your day to day. You're not believing God for what you need for this day and for the days that are to come. You don't represent him. He says you are not able to serve the Lord because you don't look anything like him. That just ought to be a family resemblance if he is your father God. People ought to be able to see and know before you open up your mouth who you serve. But you run around here looking like you serve the devil because of the choices you make with your lifestyle that's all over your body. He says he is a holy God. And he says in another place, be holy as I am holy. Now, holy, simply put, means to lack nothing, to be whole, because in God there is no lack. He has everything that we could ever hope, need, think, or want. So to be holy means that we are representing the God that is holy, and when people see us, they don't see or hear our lack. And the people are constantly talking about what we don't have, what we wish we had, what we used to have, and what somebody else has. We can't be stuck in our past. We got to live in what God has called us to live in right now, which is why these people are not able to serve the Lord, because they're stuck in the history and they're not preparing for their future. It says he's a holy God, and then he goes on to say, and he is a jealous God, starting with you are not able to serve the Lord. Because you're not able or willing to meet the standards that God has set before you. If I am holy, I expect you to be holy because you are my child. I'm jealous, which means that if you put anything before me, I'm going to get upset about it. I'm not going to feel your excuses. I'm not going to be down with what you running around chasing after. When all the while, I should be first in your life. There's no excuse for a child of God not to have God in their life. The only excuse that I can come up with is they didn't teach me he was supposed to be first. But that's not in here. You can't use that excuse up in here. Somebody else in the world might be able to use that because they didn't get taught. They got saved, but they didn't get taught. But in here, we know. We know enough about God to know that he is jealous, and that if we do things that offend him, there's going to be consequences. Now, the thing about where he says he will not forgive your rebellion and your sins, it's not saying that God will never forgive you, but what he's saying is that what we do will have consequences. What we do, the forgiveness is like when you get blessed to have somebody forgive your loan so you don't have to pay your student loan back somehow, some way. I wish somebody would forgive my loan. But you know, that's not the kind of forgiveness we're talking about here. Okay. We're talking about the kind of forgiveness that, yeah, I'm going to forgive you, but I got to teach you something first. Because I got to make sure that you understand that your actions are not okay with me. Because I'm jealous when you put your job before me. I'm jealous when you put your relationships before me. I'm jealous when you put your household before me. I'm jealous when you put your thoughts, your hopes, your dreams, your fears, your likes, your dislikes, all of that. Whenever you put that before me, I see idolatry. And you've allowed whatever comes before me to be your God. So I got to teach you a lesson so that you understand that none of those things deserve the slot that is reserved only for God. Is that making sense? He says, if you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, he will turn and bring disaster on you and make an end of you after he has been good to you. Now, after God has made provision for his people, has set us up to make sure we can succeed, has led us to a place where we can thrive. If we continue to be disobedient, lackadaisical, mediocre, and straight up rebellious, there's going to be a lesson that God is going to teach the individuals after he's been good to us. Because see, the truth of the matter is God's nation will live on. Whether it be in the form of this church or all of the Christians around the world, there's going to always be somebody to worship and magnify and glorify the name of the Lord. If you decide not to do it, step aside so somebody else can do it. Because as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. But the people said to Joshua, no, we will serve the Lord. You have chosen. No, he says, then Joshua said, you are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen to serve the Lord. Yes, we are witnesses, they replied. They agreed real good. Yes, we are witnesses. Now then, said Joshua, throw away all the foreign gods that are among you and yield your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel. And the people said to Joshua, we will serve the Lord our God and obey him. So the people, well, first of all, Joshua challenged them and told them that there's going to be consequences as a result of the talking and not doing. Don't miss it, Abundant Life Ministries. There's a whole lot of talking and not enough doing. And just so you know, this is not just an ALM thing. This dates all the way back before Jesus. People have been struggling with this in relationship with God for longer than I care to bring up. Thousands. We talk about thousands of years. Seemed like we would have gotten it by now. What excuse do we have? We got the Bible, Old Testament, and the New Testament. We had Jesus walking on the earth. We got the Holy Ghost living on the inside of us. What more do we expect God to do in order for us to start living for him? We are witnesses against ourselves. We who have said, yes, we want to be a church. Yes, we want to continue. Yes, we want to survive. Yes, we want to do this work. Yes, we want to follow you. You are witnesses against yourself. Now you are accountable to your own word. God is going to hold us accountable to what we have said in order for us to be ready to take his word into the world. Still talking about taking his word to the world through the question, are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the world? In order to be able to answer that question, we've got to know the various systems that operate among us, whether we realize it or not. We're participating in one of three systems, whether we realize it or not. And the system is simply an established way of doing things. You know how you have a way of washing your dishes or a way of cleaning your house. You systematically decide, well, I'm going to do the bathroom and the kitchen first, and then I'll do the dusting last. However you have made, you know, you have established a way of doing things. That is a system. Does that make sense so far? So we've got the world system. We've got the church system, and we've got the kingdom system. These are the three systems that operate and function on the earth, whether we know it or not. The largest system, where the majority of the people of the world, whether saved or unsaved, operate from, is the world system. Now, the world system brings a focus and an attention to self. The world system wants to make you the center of your universe, and everything else is supposed to revolve around you. The world would have you to believe that you have a right to be the center of your own universe. And because it's based on self, it helps us to manifest the desires of our flesh. The world system promotes the flesh. It wants us to do what the flesh desires for us to do and to ignore what we hear in the spirit. The world system is set up through all of the various technologies that we have today that will help us to be able to just be me, myself, and I. You can have church on your iPad, your iPhone. You can have church on your computer. You really can't, but they try to make it like you can, where it's just me and myself. I don't need anybody else. I can make it all by myself. And what I've accomplished, I've done it from me. And that is just a lie from the pit of hell. I don't care if you don't have good relationships with the people around you. Somebody has helped you to get to wherever you are or wherever you are going to be. But the world would make you believe that you don't need to acknowledge anybody else because you are the center of your own universe. Most people, whether they know it or not, some of y'all gonna be in denial about it today, function, live, operate, and promote the world system, which is a promotion of self. Absolutely. World system. Then there's another demographic that lives by the church system. And church has service at the center of its universe, where we come together and we worship in a service, where we do outreach that is service, where we participate in ministries to serve others. The focus of the church is to serve. And understand that that's not a bad thing, but it's not the last thing, and it's not the only thing, and it's not the best thing. But it's a necessary thing in order for us to be able to get promoted to the final system, which I'm going to get to in a minute. But in the church, we have a responsibility to learn how to be servants and to master servitude, as Jesus was the ultimate servant that he portrayed upon the earth, so that we would be without excuse when we are called to serve. But a lot of churches have gotten away from serving, including this ministry. We're getting back to it now, hallelujah. But for the majority of 2013, it was a whole lot of world system jumping off in the church, because the people of the church were bringing the world to these seats and not bringing the temple of God that we are to the seats, so that we can be church. But church is not the end all be all. It's the stepping stone to the best place that God has called us to be. And let me tell you something. If we decide we're not going to go beyond church, we're not going to step into kingdom, God said that the best we will ever be are spiritual housewives. If you never move from church to kingdom, the best you will ever be is a spiritual housewife, maintaining and keeping house. And then the third system, which is the one that God's been trying to get us to for 14 years, is the kingdom system, where God is at the center of the universe. See, somebody would tell you that God is at the center of the church universe, but if you've been a part of a church, you know that's not true. They might get on the mic and say, I praise God who is the head of my life, but it's lies in the church just like it's lies in the world. All right? So God is calling us to a system that is kingdom, where the presence of God is evident, where the manifestations of God are there, where for people to see whether they know God or not. Miracles are not just for the believers, because sometimes it'll be the miracles that'll lead somebody into getting saved. But we have so few church folks, so few Christians that are willing to launch themselves into the kingdom, that we kind of limit the miracles in the church. And the truth of the matter is, the miracles are not for the church. I mean, we can benefit from the miracles. Yes, we want to be healed. We want to be delivered. But it's so that others can be saved. And they can't really be saved in a large number if we're not willing to go out there and get them. That's what kingdom does. That's who Jesus was. Jesus was the kingdom on earth, as it is in heaven, and he went where he needed to go in order for people to find him and to know him and to hear him and to learn of the reality that this is who God is calling for us to be. We have to operate from a place of kingdom system so that God is first, so that our priorities are straight, and so that other people will see and know. That's the only way we can take his word into the world. That's the only way we're ready. We're not ready for the world if we're stuck in housewife mode. We got to be in kingdom mode, where I'm going to make sure they know that my God is first in my life. As for me and my house, they ought to be able to see that and know that without a mouth ever being opened. Are you ready for the world? God says, don't talk about it, be about it. He said, stay ready so you ain't got to get ready. He said, and stay close to the master at all costs, because when I say go, I expect you to go. God is preparing this house to go into the world and to advance his kingdom. And in order for that to happen, things must change. Things are changing all around us, which is why you put your praise on reserve for a while, which is why you're a little nervous about whether or not you're going to stay in this ministry, which is why you're having questions and doubts about the church. I'm trying to tell you, change will make people do some real crazy things. Sometimes resisting change makes us make some bad decisions for our life and our spiritual health. God says we got to stay in the flow of his spirit. And today he is calling us to destroy strongholds that have been established in this church long enough. We're breaking yokes and casting out demons from this ministry. God said the time has come for us not to sit around and allow certain spirits to rise up and take root and bear fruit. He said it's 2014 and we've been putting up with it for long enough. He said today, in the name of Jesus, we're going to bind up some things. We're about to see a complete transformation of this ministry as a result of what's about to get rebuked and cast out and kicked out of this ministry right here and right now. He said, today we bind up self-absorption. We bind up mediocrity. We bind up fear. We bind up lies. We bind up despair. We bind up doubt. We bind up stubbornness. We bind up rebellion. We bind up procrastination. We bind up lack of praise, lack of worship, distraction, destruction, dissension, complacency, lack, selfishness, supersensitivities, being led by the flesh, half in, half out, listening to the devil over God, lukewarm mentalities, following the devil, liking what the devil says, unholy households, living in sin, spiritual suicide. He said we bind it up in the name of Jesus. Prepared for the plucking to occur, because God has taken some things out in order to pour some things in. The Bible says we have power and authority over all these things. We can bind and we can loose. And I believe in the power of God sacrifice, obedience, humility, friendship, family, forgiveness, righteousness, joy, peace, patience, freedom, worship, praise, power, hope, freedom, ideas, creativity, generosity, into the house today. Oh, I know you can do better than that. If you want some of what's been said to come into your household, you ought to stand on your feet. You ought to be excited about God. You ought to be ready to give God some praise. We have to fight to stay alive. We have to fight to remain relevant. We have to fight to advance the kingdom of God. I want to know today, who is willing to fight? Who is willing to take a stand? Who is willing to do God's will? Who is willing to say yes to God and no to the devil? We got to fight. Because if it was up to the devil, we'd already be dead. We'd already be gone. We'd already be nothing. But the good news is it's not up to the devil. It's up to God. And if we just got two or three in agreement what God is saying on today, we can press our way forward into new dimensions in Him. But God says, you got to be willing to fight. You've been in the enemy's camp long enough. You've been kicking it with the enemy long enough. Best friends, let them sleep on your couch. Let them sleep in your bed. It's time to put the smack down on the devil and open up and unlock that spiritual closet where you've been hiding the Holy Ghost. Because God is ready to release some things that can only come through your Holy Ghost. You got something God wants to give to the world. You got something God wants to give to the world. You got something. You got something. You got something. You got something God wants to give to the world. But the devil don't want it to be released. Somebody in here has been called to lay hands and people get healed. Somebody's been called to just speak a word and folks get delivered. Somebody in here has been called to preach the word of God. Somebody in here has been called to bring hospitality so people feel welcome in the family of God. But we've been holding our gifts hostage because we've been looking at what other people have. It's time to take a good look at what God has given us and decide that I'm going to fight the good fight. Because there's been a lot of fighting going on, but it's been fighting against God. It's time to stop fighting against God, stop rebelling against God, step on over to the other side and decide the fight I fight is the one God calls me to. And because I've been called to it, I don't have to throw up a weapon. I don't have to get my bows up. All I have to do is stand. And after having done everything, to continue to stand. Is anybody with me today?